Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism. I'm thrilled today to have as my guest, Honey Rinasella. Honey, I've known for a long, long time. Hi, Honey.
Hello, Fred.
So, Honey is the executive director of MAPS, which she's going to tell us about. And even more importantly, the mother of three beautiful children, Rhonda, who's her oldest, a daughter, and she's got identical twin boys, Vince and Vic, who we're going to hear a lot about. And, honey, how did you get into autism? This has been your life now for quite a while.
Oh, yes, going on 21 years.
21.
Yeah. So my boys were diagnosed, they had a significant regression right around 18 months, and they were diagnosed with autism at 21 months of age. And
both of them.
Hit the ground running. Yep, both of them. They had completely different issues with their autism. My one son, Victor, became like an exposed nerve. Like every sensory issue known to mankind would bother him. He would, you know, scream and startle at the, you know, you'd get an ice cube out of the refrigerator and he would just jolt and, like, scream for, like, 20 minutes. And,
wow.
You know, he was just a very sensitive child. That was kind of his biggest issue. And then my other son was the total opposite. Vincent became almost mute, and we all assumed he was deaf. So he kind of went into his own world. The other one became louder and constantly needy and ill, and Vincent just kept fading from us. They
wow.
both had a, I mean, I guess it's okay to share because it's my truth, but they both had a severe vaccine reaction and atrophied, and that's what led us to kind of finding out they had an underlying mitochondria dysfunction, and, you know, so we kind of started hitting the ground hard, knowing, like, therapeutically we could support them, but also medically something had seriously injured them, so we started on the path and journey of healing them back into, you know, the state that they should have been in. So.
And you have made an enormous progress. Those boys at about 20, they were really the guinea pigs, weren't they? They were the canaries in the coal mine where mm-hmm. all of a sudden we started seeing this regression after vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see red flags before that?
You know what? I did. So at the time, and I'll tell you, and, you know, this is so funny because it came on for different reasons, but, you know, I have to speak my truth. And if it saves one person, it will save, you know, one person. So when initially my boys were born, we were living in outside of Atlanta in a place called Alpharetta, Georgia. And, you know, the CDC's in Atlanta, and it was all over the news in 2000 that they had requested the removal of thimerosal. The CDC had put it out to remove thimerosal. And, you know, I lived there, so it was all over, and everybody was talking about it where I was.
Right.
And I had already had my daughter, who was born 2 years prior. So she was born in 98. And so in 2000, when this all came out, I'm pregnant, and I'm listening to all this. And so I did go to my doctor. I'm like, I'm really kind of nervous about this, and I don't really know what to do. I mean, I'm a hippie at heart. You know, I'm born and raised on an organic goat farm in Vermont. And, wow. You know, I breastfed my first daughter. I read Mothering Magazine. I made my own organic baby food. I was pretty much a health freak. I played racquetball till the day before I had my daughter, and I was very health conscious. So when, you know, this had all come out, I was really actually gravely concerned about the thimerosal thing, and they said that they removed it in 2000. So I went to my pediatrician, said I'm a bit nervous. He goes, well, I agree, so let's spread them out a little bit. Now, mind you, I didn't even circumcise my boys. I was pretty into the natural lifestyle, and uh-huh. The only reason I didn't was because a like-minded friend suggested that I look into it. And she was like, are you going to do it? And I was like, of course I am. And then she goes, have you researched it? And I said, no, I have not. So I started researching it, and then I decided against it. So,
right.
You know, knowledge is power. When you know better, you do better. And so with the vaccines, I kind of trusted my doctor because, you know, he had said to me, you know, let's spread them out. I don't want to do any at birth. My boys are going to be twins, boys, preemies. You know, they're obviously the weakest sex. Let's hold off. He agreed. So I spread everything out, but every single time, and I know this because we were a confirmed vaccine reaction. So we had to file a federal court of claims lawsuit. And through that lawsuit, you know, we had to document and research every lot, every vial, and look everything back up. And you could see what was so sad was the progress that every time I took them in, like they had their first shots, like, you know, even if they were just like 2 months old, like they were, you could see all of the records. They were severe ear infections and sickness and runny nose. And, you know, 4 months, they got another vaccine. Then they got croup and they got, you know, and I was a stay-at-home breastfeeding mom making all of her organic food. And
yeah.
I kind of couldn't figure out why. And the only rationale I could really truly believe was that I was bringing them to a dirty office. Like I was like, oh, all these kids must be sick. So
wow.
That in my mind was the correlation with the doctor's office, but it wasn't the vaccines. It was actually, oh no, every time I would be so paranoid with like hand sanitizer, washing their hands and like, you know, protecting them from germs because I just kept saying, oh my gosh, every time I go there,
right.
They're so sick. But you, looking back, it would make somebody very nauseous. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. And looking back, you could see 100% the correlation. Got the vaccine.
Yep.
The next day, the mother called, you know, concerned about fever, was told to give Tylenol, worst thing I could have ever done. You know, so it was just this horrible downward spiral, if you will, of every time that we took them, they got a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And then finally, when they went in, you know, they were 15 months old when I took them in and they had a really bad reaction. And they've had the DTaP and the MMR, and I really don't know which one pulled the trigger the most because I think both were really, really bad.
Right.
And I ended up going to Puerto Rico with my husband and my youngest daughter for a trip, and it was so ironic because I was leaving them with a close friend for the first time, and I said, you know what, they just don't seem right after that last pediatrician visit. Something's really wrong. And I could not withhold calling my babysitter every night from Puerto Rico. I mean, our bill was like $800 for the phone calls because my gut was like something.
Oh,
really
wow.
Happened.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago that they were diagnosed with a mitochondrial dysfunction. Can you talk about that for our listeners who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, so the mitochondria is the cellular energy to, like, everything in your body. It makes your heart work, your brain work, your body work. It makes your muscles strengthen. It helps you breathe. It's the powerhouse of the cell, of your entire body. So your mitochondria is basically what gives you energy for every area of your body to function properly, if I can say it in the most layman terms. So what we realized, because we, you know, my kids were diagnosed and we had to start digging deep as to they had such a significant regression. I should add real quickly, when I got back from Puerto Rico and I went to the doctor for their next visit, I said, I'm no longer ever doing another shot. Something happened to my kids. And we tested them, and now they were on par of being on time with the walking, the babbling, you know, like the pull-up, the sit-up, the pincher grasp, the tracking. And when I went back at that next visit, when I got back from Puerto Rico, at their 18-month visit, they had completely regressed an entire year. Like, they couldn't stand.
So you documented that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all over my lawsuit. So they, the thing that was really scary is that I was like, they kind of turned into like puddles, I say. Like they stopped like kind of crawling. Their muscles atrophied. And so I believe we had a very significant reaction to the vaccines. And the irony was that, you know, I'd had a child 21 months prior to my boys. So none of this had happened to her.
Right.
And it sent us down a pathway to look at the why, what caused them to have a significant reaction. Yes, and that led us to the doctors that had identified a mitochondrial dysfunction. So what's interesting, though, is that we've also, like, tested myself and my daughter, and, you know, we, too, have the same dysfunction. But the difference is that even though my daughter was just born, like, 2 years prior, she was not given as many vaccines as my twins. And I was born in 73. I just turned 50. And I think I was giving like four by the time I was like 12. So, and ironically, I had a reaction to DTaP and they didn't give me another. So, you know, when I brought it up to my pediatrician, he's like, oh, they're so different now. That wouldn't even make a difference, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, but maybe it did. So,
well,
just between you and I, I've been lobbying at Congress for 20 years for testing children prior to any inoculation. So even if somebody were a proponent of it, you should still test because one size will never fit all. You could line 20 kids up for a, you know, penicillin shot and it could kill two. So, you know, we
it's
really
It's so important, honey, that for parents to hear that, that one size doesn't fit all. This vaccine schedule is accelerated. And it is. It's a one-size-fits-all package. And your child may not fit that size.
Yep, 100%. I mean, 100%.
Yep. So what do you do about mitochondrial dysfunction?
What do I do about it?
What can you do if you think your child has it? How does it get diagnosed, and who do you go to?
Yeah, so for my... you know, we had a very long, you know, a MAPS doctor. I mean, that's what brings me full circle around. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So, you know, we had found these integrative doctors, and at the time they were Dan doctors, Defeat Autism Now, and Dan kind of fizzled out, and then MAPS entered into the, you know, arena, and it was the Medical Academy of Pediatrics and Special Needs, and they were the doctors that, if you'd ever seen the TV show House, it actually was one of my favorite shows, I always call them the pediatric health doctors. So they would just dig deeper and deeper to find out the root cause of why what was happening. And knowing what the root is will allow you to address it. So with all that being said, you know, we kept digging. And the first thing that they noticed, they, like, tested, like, lactic fluoric acid, and they were like, oh, they're a little off. That's a, it's indicative of a mitochondrial dysfunction. So, you know, we did have a lot of, like, little signs like that. And then eventually down the road, we did end up getting a spinal tap and a muscle biopsy, and it confirmed the severity of the mitochondrial disease. So it, like, one of my sons went into, like, disease state in his body, Victor, the one that was the exposed nerve that was very, 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 very sick, like, all the time. Yeah, he definitely had more of an advanced, active, like, more of mitochondrial disease, and Vincent was more mitochondrial dysfunction. So if you go to any MAPS doctor, they're all going to check for mitochondrial dysfunction. I mean, they should. If they're staying, you know, up on their current, you know, education through MAPS, which when I took over from a mom's perspective, we kind of shifted some things. And I was like, our database, you're only active on our database if you've gone within a year. Like, things are changing so much with these children. We're finding so much out about them.
We sure are.
Like the mito, you know, we need to really show these parents who's the most invested in this community. So we highlight anybody that, you know, we created a membership, and if you have a membership, you get all the data to all the past conferences, but you also have to attend one in person a year. So it keeps you up to date on everything. So, the MAPS doctor should definitely be able to help identify that. The sad part is, though, is that your mainstream pediatrician would not be able to identify that. So
he wouldn't even know what it is.
They wouldn't. I mean, when I go in and I would say, so I went, you know, I live in Pennsylvania. So, you know, the other side of you, I'm more close to Philly. So my CHOP doctor, wonderful woman, I loved her. And she never, you know, I have it stamped that my kids had a regression. They had a vaccine injury. So it nobody questioned me, ever. I had been on the Today Show and CNN, and they always brought me on because I was the one that had it. You know, like I had this one in a million, you know, rare reaction. But it was really more so that I just was oddly, I don't know if you'd say fortunate enough, that it was documented. So she never questioned that I had this, and she understood how it kind of shut down their mitochondria by having too many too soon. And that's what I told her. I said if they had tested them ahead of time, they would have known they couldn't handle six vaccines at one time. Like a DTaP is three vaccines. It's not one.
Right.
You know, we all know MMR is not one vaccine. It's three.
Right.
So when you bring a child in, you know, one at a time. You know, back in the day when I had my children, that's what people were doing. They started spreading them out and doing a measles. And then, like, several months later, a mumps. And then several months later, a rubella. So that's kind of how they, you know, they, everybody that was learning from our mistakes started to do them. So, you know, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, I really wished I'd known that, but I really started sharing my voice and educating others.
But you got involved in parent education right away, first through the National Autism Association and TACA, and wasn't this even before you got into the medical aspects of it, or was it concurrent?
I started with TACA, and at the time it was Talk About Caring Autism, and I started the nonprofit branch here in Pennsylvania, and I started throwing their talk at East Coast Conference in Pennsylvania. And I did that for several years to try and help educate, you know, parents, and, you know, we would lobby at Congress, and we would just try and help, you know, create a community that, you know, parents could understand, like, their kids were really sick, and when you help them, they could get better. I mean, my one partner at TACA, two of my partners, their kids lost their diagnoses. So,
one of them
is in college and driving. The other one is just graduating high school and driving. Like, they're just indistinguishable from their peers, and that's the ultimate goal. But they hit the ground running. The one girl, her name's Christine, she actually hit the ground running by coming to our first ever TACA conference. She really listened to everything.
But then she addressed the medical aspects.
Correct.
Not just the sensory and behavioral aspects. And that's why those organizations are so important, because they help parents understand this isn't a behavioral syndrome.
100%. And half the times the behavior is that they're hurting, or they're, like, off in their body. And, you know, like, when, I don't know if you know who Sid Baker is, but he started kind of the Dan and Air Ride
movement
and this whole, and, you know, we got to dig deeper for these poor kids. And I remember seeing him when, you know, my boys were 3 years old. I went to my first Dan conference, and just a little shy of 3 years old. And I remember him saying, if your child is sitting on a tack, why would you teach them how to sit on the tack? Why don't you remove the tack? And then he said, and if your child is sitting on more than one tack, why would you behaviorally teach them to sit on the tacks? Why don't you look to remove the tacks? And he said, that's how we need to treat all the behaviors within our children, because 9 times out of 10, it's a pain.
He had a third corollary to that tack. He said, and if you have two tacks and you remove one tack, the child is still in pain.
Yes, you still have the other tack. That was so funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad we knew that. Yeah, so that's from that day when my kids were, like, just shy of three. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, like, it just made so much. It was common sense, you know. Like, there's an organization called Thinking Moms Revolution. I was a thinking mom, just like circumcision. My daughter was signed up to get circumcised. I didn't know what I was having, didn't know the sex of the baby, and she came out a girl, and I didn't have to think of it. But for the next one, someone challenged me and said, are you sure you want to do that? Have you researched it? Like, I'm a thinking mom. Like, I just needed education instead of trusting blindly. I trusted, you know. I did everything right, but those vaccines. So
I'm glad you mentioned Sid Baker, because he really was, one of the original Dan doctors with Bernie Rimland, and he was the one who just made it so simple for parents to understand that you have to look at causes, and if that causes two tacks, you're in trouble, because one tack removal doesn't do the job. And treating the pain caused by the tack doesn't do the job. I'm so glad you brought him up. So you've got these regressed kids, and and you really were out there. I mean, I remember early on with the early talk-up meetings and the conferences, and then with NAA, where you were director of education, you, I mean, that's always been our mutual goals, that we are going to educate parents on what the options are, like you got educated on circumcision, so that they can make an educated, informed decision. And so you kept going, and talk to me about each of the boys. So, you know, Vic was more of a biological, more of a the sensory
medical
one.
Mess, if you, he's like my medically frazzled child, the one that was the exposed nerve, still to this day. He
and
so he responded well to many, much of the therapies, like the, you know, we started horseback riding when they were two, and, you know, PT and OT and speech, and, you know, we got Victor to a really good place, but he was the one that, he always had that croup, and, you know, in fourth grade he got a concussion, and
wow,
he started
okay.
having life-threatening seizures, and, you know, he's a complex kid.
And Vince, when we come back from a break, I want you to talk about what's happened with Vince in the last couple years, because he's a new miracle.
He is.
So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear some about what happens with kids like Vince, who are basically nonverbal, and how he found his voice.
Perfect.
You're listening to the Autism Detectives. My guest today, Honey Rinuncella, the executive director of MAPS, has been telling us about her twins. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. My guest today, Honey Rinuncella, has been telling us about her twin sons, born in 2000, who had vaccine reactions, and although they're identical twins, they regressed in markedly different ways. We heard about Vic, who is basically verbal, and he was more of a medical regression. And now, Honey, tell us about Vince, and he's been in the news a lot. He's quite a rock star. Tell
he
us what happened with him.
Yeah, so Victor, the medically fragile one, he's like whack-a-mole. You know, he's got croup, he's got this. He had the life-threatening seizures. And I do have to say this because this could save another child. So my kids Vic had life-threatening seizures and had a full-time oxygen nurse with him at all times, Make-A-Wish trip recipient. My MAPS doctor found the cause of those, and he no longer has seizures. He's been 13 years seizure-free. It's this year's 13 years. So praise God for that. So fast forward, he was the one that was always doing great. He was considered high-functioning by all standards of society. So then his brother, who we got pre-medically stable through our MAPS doctor, never could get language. So he was considered low-functioning. And an amazing event occurred when on the last day of Autism Awareness Month, somebody posted on my National Autism Association website a link of non-speakers have something to say. And I watched it, and it was a CNN link, and it was this kid, and his name was Alex, and he's now a friend of Vincent's, and he said, "Don't stop talking to us. We are in here. We hear everything that you say." And it was like live from Philly. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is in my backyard. And so I called the place the next day, said, "I want to bring my son. What is this?" It was a Spelling to Communicate Center. I brought my son. And in 4 months, he was speaking so eloquently that, I mean, it was like Ivy League intelligence. Blew my mind. Could not believe it. I mean, you know, I thought only thing he would be able to say to me would be like, "Mom, I want juice." But now with his hands, when we made language a gross motor, he was able to communicate at first with a letter board. Now he types by making things upright to help his brain function differently. He could start saying, you know, he could tell me everything, his thoughts, his feelings, what he wanted to be, what he wanted to do. It was like, oh, my gosh.
It's like you opened the floodwaters.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. So then that's the story. So then I was like, I have to start telling my friends, my OG peeps that have been doing this 20-plus years. So I started telling some people. I told my friend JB, who used to run Generation Rescue and fellow, you know, incredible father that I've known for years. And, you know, he was like, "Don't tell me I don't know who my kid is." And I'm like, we were all wrong about our kids. Society's wrong. At one point, they thought deaf people were mentally retarded. They weren't. They were just wrong. We are wrong about these children that cannot speak. And so he almost challenged me. He jumped in a car, went and checked it out, and his kid was the exact same way as Vincent, which I knew he would be because he was already a biomedical kid. His body was comfortable. He was healthy. He was healed from the inside out. He just didn't have his voice, and that was the last puzzle piece we needed to put together for them. So he wrote, you know, a book, Underestimated, which was amazing, and then he made a movie called Spellers, and Vincent, of course, is in the movie, as are several other children who, same thing, found their voice where they thought they were never going to come out. Amazing.
So I've had a couple of people on my show who have told us about Spell to Communicate, and I've had Judy Chinitz, and is she the mother of Alex that you mentioned, or was that a different Alex?
No, it's a different Alex, but we love Judy. We're good friends with Judy. She is a Columbia grad, so she's got a brilliant mind. I bring Vincent and her. They talk every other week. I drive to New York to see her.
Oh, great. We've had Dawn Marie, DM, out in California, who's talked about how she's helped so many kids.
Yeah, she is Vincent's primary, like, she is our lead practitioner. We just flew out to see her in California, and she said that, you know, Vince was like, "I want to go see her because my goal is complete independence." So she's always our, quote, level up to help him figure out ways to help his body and his brain organize to be more independent. So
explain the sort of the elevator version of why Vince and his friends can't talk, but everything, there's a lot going on in that head. What's preventing
Absolutely.
Him?
Yeah, so it's apraxia. So apraxia is when you have the idea in your mind, and you can see it and you can understand it. You just can't get your mouth to say it. So a lot of times these kids were doing ABA, and they would present them with, you know, an apple and be like, put it with the proper category, and they would tell these kids to match it. And their bodies just don't listen to their brain. They can't, like, their mind knows it's an apple and it goes with the fruit category. But sometimes, you know, they have jolty, you know, sensory issues, and they would just grab it and put it with the category of an animal. And therefore, they would be marked that they didn't know what an apple was. Wherein in truth and reality, they were just trapped inside and they didn't know how to get it out due to their apraxia. And so,
So apraxia is really, it's like a motor planning problem. The lips, the tongue, the cheeks, all the motor mechanism of the mouth and the connection between that and the brain doesn't work. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. It's like when the brain and nervous system, they're unable to perform the movement or task because the command is understood, but then the muscles cannot work properly to follow through with that command.
And so this muscle problem, this motor planning problem, with 20/20 hindsight, we saw in other parts of the body. I mean, we understood that the gut, which is a big muscle, in some of these kids doesn't work so well. And their eyes, which are controlled by muscles, and many of these kids don't work so well. And so here was just another part of the body that it was a motor problem. And so how did you get around that for him to use letter boards and now to type?
Yeah, when we went to the first session, they started saying that if you raise the you know, so Vince was going to an amazing school that was for kids with apraxia, and so they had always presumed intellect, and they actually thought he was smarter than I thought he was, because I'm like, yeah, he can't really show that. But I went to the spelling to communicate, and when they explained that you make it more of a gross motor when you raise something in front of them, and it's like chest level, then they're using like their shoulders and their arms. And I do know like the gross motor components, because we've done so much OT. This usually makes the most sense to OTs, far more than it ever will to a speech pathologist,
right?
Because it's about the movement, right? So when they started explaining it, I understood, you know, and they were like, put it in an upright position, and they will have an easier time communicating. And so Vince was doing something called typing.com at school to teach him the letters on the keyboard. I called the school instantly and said, all academics from here on out need to be on an upright keyboard. And he started to do amazing. And there's actually a little clip of him on an upright keyboard in school in the movie Spellers, because they did, they were like, what do you need to do to help this kid? We're all team Vincent. So, you know, we just raised everything. It's basically using a gross motor to access a different part of your brain to produce language. And the language comes out in your hands. Kind of like sign language, but sign language is difficult for our kids because, again, they can't get their hands to do what they want. Where you start training your body to touch, you know, something, it becomes automatic. Like when you drive a car, you just get in and shift. And sometimes you're not even thinking you're shifting, but you're going from park to drive and you just do it. It's like automatic. So
it is.
Then spelling with their hand retrains their brain that that's how they communicate, and that it just became automatic. And then Vince just, you know, he's taken off speaking at lectures and conferences. We were just in Texas for the Autism Health Summit. So,
honey, this is fascinating, and we need to take another break. And when we come back, you've mentioned the movie Spellers a couple times, and I want to make sure people know how to access that and what the movie is all about. So we're listening to Honey Rinascella tell us about her twin boys and the miracle of getting into their brains even though they have medical and motor planning problems. So we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to today I'm talking to Honey Rinasella about MAPS, the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs, the movie Spellers, and how her twin boys, Vince and Vic, now almost 21, have moved from autistic to extremely functional. Honey, this is just, you got to write a book about this. I mean, we got a movie now. Are you going to write a book too?
Oh my gosh, no. I want to save all the other kids. That's my goal. So I love
I know. It's been our goal for years and years and years. I mean, it's been my goal since the early 90s. And so that was even 10 years before your boys were born. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the movie Spellers and how people can watch it. It's not at your local theater.
No, they was for a little bit there. Highwire actually showed it, and it got 14 million views in a week, the highest watch show they had ever had. It's amazing.
Whoa.
They can watch it if they go to Spellers.com, and it will bring up Spellers. You can see on the top it will say watch, and for $10 you can watch it in your own home via Kinema. So
and it's Spellers plural, right?
Yep, Spellers, yep.
Okay.
Or they could Google Spellers the movie, so they can watch it. I encourage anybody and everybody to watch it. It's the amazing, it's like a Helen Keller movement. It's beautiful. It's awesome.
Really, it's hard to watch without bawling your eyes out.
Oh, yeah. I cry every time I see it because I just praise God, Judy, listen to me. Yes, and the Spellers movie has been so powerful. You know, it's freeing so many of these kids that I left the parent education world, and I went into, they asked me to take over as the executive director for MAP because we really need to train the professionals. And I mean, the parents are catching on, and they already know this, but there are not enough doctors. So that's my new role, is to try and recruit as many doctors as possible. You know, anybody out there as a doctor that's open-minded, send them to us, medmaps.org. These doctors are amazing. They want to save the community. They saw Spellers. Our board members, Dr. O'Hara, Dr. Usman, and Dr. Neuenschwander, they make up our medical board. They were like, we need to do something for our plenary at our medical conferences. We're going to do the neurobiology of speech and communication. So that's what it will be next month in Charlotte. The entire plenary is going to be about how we need to identify these kids that are in there, what we can do to help get them out. You know, as a community of medical professionals and healthcare professionals and health coaches and chiropractors, like, what are we doing to recognize and release that out of them? Dr. Richard Fry is one of our mitoneurologists on our board, and he's doing something called locked-in syndrome as a presentation. He has contrast MRIs proving that the kids are in there, mm-hmm. however, they're trapped. So, you know, this is really, the Spellers movement has really shaken up even like our whole medical community, and I feel like
yep.
two worlds have just crashed, and it's beautiful. And it's
so how do our listeners find a MAPS doctor?
You can go to www.medmaps.org. It's MED as in medical. We had to put that there because if you say MAPS, it'll bring you to Google. So medmaps.org. We have a clinician directory. They can find people in their area. You know, we are primarily for the medical community. So, again, we also have an Invite Your Doctor to MAPS page. You know, we have a printout. They can share it with their doctor and say, you know, because a lot of times you have a really nice doctor, and they just don't know the information. Like, it's just innocent ignorance is what I call it. But they'd love to. So we get people all the time that bring their pediatrician or general practitioner or their DO to, you know, MAPS because they want to learn how to help their child. So, you know, it's been a wonderful organization for me to finally, you know, partner with these doctors that have a heart to bring true healing and help every kid reach their full potential, because that's my goal.
So you mentioned Charlotte, that there's a conference in Charlotte. Give us the details of that, please, the date. And
Yep, it's in Charlotte. It's our Functional Translational Medicine Conference. It's March 14th to 16th, Charlotte, North Carolina. It is going to be, again, the neurobiology of speech and communication is the plenary. We have a lot of research. We have information also on other modalities like seizures and, thiamine deficiency in these children. So we have an innovations track, which is anything up and coming that's new, latest research. It's going to be amazing. I've been volunteering since MAP started, I believe it was 15 years ago, just because I would take the information back to my families at the National Autism Conference.
Right.
And I just, you know, I'm so proud to see how they're taking it in this direction and really saying these kids are trapped. let's figure out how to break them out. So it's going to be awesome. So if anybody knows a practitioner or a, you know, healthcare worker that wants to learn about really, truly, we are the only organization in the country that's a CME fellowship for complex medical kids, from infancy, teens, young adults. We are the only pediatric special needs organization.
And so can parents attend this conference or not?
Nope, no parents. It's a CME organization. So it's a little, you know, it's a little more pricey. So it's definitely for the physicians and, or, you know, chiropractors or nurses. We have a lot of nurses. Nurses are amazing. They have a heart to help everybody. So,
and
you know,
PAs, I would assume?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We got PAs, NPs, you know.
And chiropractors, NDs
yeah.
too? Naturopaths?
Yeah. Tons of, we have three naturopaths speaking.
Fantastic.
Lots of them. I mean, it's just a beautiful, it's not really like a pretentious medical organization. It's just really a beautiful family. It's just the most beautiful humans that really just want to see these kids get better. I love them.
Isn't that amazing? That is mm-hmm. so exciting. And mm-hmm. how often do you do these conferences? If people can't go to Charlotte, is there going to be another one down the road?
Yeah, so we do two a year, and we do a fall and a spring. So we do, typically we do like Charlotte or Florida-ish, but I like Charlotte. And then Arizona is where we'll be in the fall. So Arizona will be the weekend following Labor Day. I believe it's the 5th, 6th, and 7th. So we've just, you know, signed that contract. So, yep, we do a East Coast, West Coast kind of spring-fall kind of vibe. And then, again, if somebody's a member, which is very inexpensive for anybody in the healthcare field, they get to look at all our past conferences. We tape them all because what we want to do is get that information and those tools to those parents, I mean the practitioners, to help the parents. So, you know, we try to make everything as easy as possible. So everything, once we have a conference, we edit it and we put it up in a membership portal so they can have access to all. We did one on mold and mycotoxins, Lyme and Lyme co-infections, Dan's pandas. So, you know, this one will be on the neurobiology of speech, but all those past ones will be up in, you know, our MAPS membership database.
Isn't that great?
They can go
and you've thrown out a couple of doctors' names who I've had on my show. As Dr. Usman was on early on, and I think everybody knows her. She's one of everybody's favorite doctors. She's been in the trenches with these kids forever. And Dr. Scowron is a member.
Yeah, he's one of our MAPS doctors. Dr. Nancy O'Hara, she's one of our members. Mm-hmm. She's our medical board.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Neuenschwander, I love him. He's our president, Dr. New.
So parents can go on your website, on the medmaps.org website, to find a practitioner.
Correct.
Yeah.
A directory.
In a directory. Could you have any idea about how many doctors are there?
Oh, thousands, several thousands.
I mean,
we have thousands of doctors. We're also in 28 countries.
No kidding. Not just in this country.
Yeah, we're in 28 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, we're continuing to expand. And, you know, I was brought on board to break down the barriers and the walls and make it 10 times the size, and that's my goal.
Fantastic.
I want everybody to be able to find a MAPS doctor anywhere they are.
Honey, this is great. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, I want you to update us on Vince and Vic, because it keeps changing, doesn't it?
I know, it does.
Okay. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism.
Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. We've heard the absolutely fascinating story of Honey Rinnicella, a real veteran in the autism world, the executive director of Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. Honey, you're doing an amazing job, and you've put MAPS on the map. And your kids are just amazing. And so tell us what's happened now. I mean, Vince is, it's like his life just started. It's like he's reborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Vince, he actually has a blog, and it's called The Unfiltered Mind of Vincent. And he does not write the blog with me. I love to add that. He writes it with his friend Katie. He tells his, you know, his thoughts and feelings that he wants everybody to know since he's been trapped in there for like 20 years. And they are 23. My boys just turned 23, so they're 23 now. But
wow. Can people subscribe to the blog?
Yep, The Unfiltered Mind of Vincent. I would love everybody to watch and read what he says. He just wrote a book and wrote a chapter in a book and the autism superheroes about, you know, who he could relate to the most. It was amazing. He just wrote about, he recently had his first ever Christmas party with his non-speaker friends, and he just said it was amazing because they just felt great being accepted, and he opened up the party saying, this is a non-judgment zone, our house does not judge, you're welcome to just be you here, and it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience. He just asked another non-speaker beautiful girl to the prom, tomorrow they're going to Night to Shine. Super excited. He's been on two dates. They text.
This is amazing. Really amazing.
This is a child that they said functioned on like a, you know, a third grade.
And we dumbed these kids down not knowing what was going on.
But now we know. And so
now we know.
On that note, right? So on that note, so I just 2 weeks ago flew out to Tampa. Dawn Marie Gavin has a partner at the Speller's Method, which is like the next level of S2C. They incorporate more vision and movement. And Dawn Marie's partner is Dana Johnson. And she met Victor, who's Vincent's, you know, brother who they, you know, he's very verbal and he talks and he's pretty high functioning, but he's medically crazy. And she was like, honey, I really think there's more to him. So I think Vincent's population in the Speller's movie are, I think, it's going to open up a whole new arena for those that have language, like Dr. Fry presenting on the locked-in syndrome. Yeah. I am personally terming kids like my son Victor untapped. Dana Johnson believes absolutely and unequivocally those kids have so much more to say. They just have a different version of apraxia. So apraxia, she believes, is like a rainbow. She doesn't believe it's auditory processing, which I always thought it was. I'm like, oh, give him some time. He has to think about what he wants to say. She's like, he knows what he wants to say. He can't get the thought. And I was like, oh, I think that you're right. And so she's challenging me on my next kid. So we flew out to Florida. We were going to see her. I just started a public page. It's called The Quest for Depth, and it's Unlocking Victor's Potential. And I'm just started it, and once a week I'm going to try and post an update of me trying to work with him. I have a bunch of videos of Victor so people can see if it identifies to any capacity with their child. You know, my goal is to see, I know he has so much more to say. And I know, like, what I've learned from Vincent is that these children cannot get everything out. Doesn't matter if they have a little language. With Victor, you know, I believe that they've been taught so much what they were supposed to say that when he goes to respond to something, he has to think in that database of what he's been taught. He can't think of his own thoughts. So I do believe there's going to be a way that we retrain him, and I'm trying to teach him not to use his mouth while we use the letterboard, and eventually, hopefully, get back on a, you know, keyboard, because he's perfect on a keyboard. You know, you can type anything and search anything, and he looks up, you know, Walt Disney World. You know, he's always Googling things, and he's an amazing artist, and but he can't really, he could never express what Vincent can express. And if you read Vincent's blog, you'll understand, like, that depth that he has, it's very hard to access.
And the feelings, at the feeling level, you know, how do you express your feelings without the apparatus, without the motor abilities, and the depth of feelings of these spellers is just phenomenal.
And my president, Dr. New, you know, he had said to me when I told him I was going to do this with Vic, he goes, you absolutely need to, because people come in and they think the ultimate goal is to get speech. It's not to get speech. It's to get communication,
it's
right?
To communicate.
I don't care about language.
Yep.
He said, kids come in with rote speech, and the parents are so happy. And he's like, and I can tell you right now, I'd rather have two like Vincent than one like Vic, because Vince can tell me anything. And so Dr. New said, you know, like when people sit down, when songwriters sit down and write a song, they channel from a different place when they use a pencil and paper. When people, authors, sit down and write a book, they typically use a typewriter or a keyboard because it channels from a different part of your brain. And I really believe there's like some overlap there with these kids that have language. So I'm going to work really hard to see, you know, I'm working like 80 hours a week. So I'm trying to.
Good for you. Good for you.
His brother and Matt. But we're going to try and unlock those kids. You know, I think they're untapped. So
what are your last thoughts to leave parents with?
Yes, don't give up hope. Oh, my gosh, my kid, look at my son. I mean, it's a perfect example. We can never, ever give up hope. I mean, they're learning so much every day. There's so much more coming out about how to help our children, you know, internally, externally, you know.
Right.
Just believe
we keep learning.
We can do it. Yep.
Judy Chinitz, I had her back. I had her when her Alex first started using the letterboard, and I had her back 3 years later with the next chapters of the story. And it was just remarkable. And, I mean, we don't know what the potential is. I mean, where are these kids going to end up? What do you think?
I think, you know, the future's unknown, but it's really, really bright.
It's really, really bright. Yep. Have they told you what they want to do, either of them?
Vincent said, well, Victor's still learning to tell me. He just, you know, always wants to be close to me because he knows Mom can help him if he has a medical issue. But Vincent wants to be the first ever, he wants to be the first legislator to veto a bill. Like, he wants to go study politics in school. He's currently, he works really hard at home, does a lot of online courses, and he eventually wants to get to become a full-time college student out in the community and then move on to help make a difference in the world.
That's beautiful, honey.
Great,
and they are so lucky to have you as their mom. This wouldn't have happened without you.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to have them. My gosh, they're amazing.
You have quite an amazing family, and they have quite an amazing future. You're exactly the same age as my daughter, who just turned 50. So I have lived your last 50 years of my life watching the world change and see this autism epidemic. And as you say, if you can help one family, you'll help one family, and it will make a huge difference. And you're doing that with what they see with your kids and what you're doing with MAPS to get more doctors on board and educated so that they can help more families. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you for all you're doing. Really appreciate you. I know you've been there right alongside all of us and
over 50 years. So, I just, if I had it in me, I'd write another book. I'd update the book, but I think two versions of Outsmarting Autism are enough. So somebody else is going to have to do it. Maybe you. Thank you, honey. Thanks for coming on. It took us a long time to make it happen, but I am thrilled that you were able to do this. And
everybody who's listening, get your doctors to learn about MAPS, go to MAPS, become MAPS certified so you can help more kids. Thanks again, honey.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at outsmartingautism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.